Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Joel Richardson, explains end-time Bible prophecy clearer than anyone I know. It's so biblical. It makes so much sense. Joel, what is necessary, in your opinion, to unify the Muslim countries for their end-time purposes and for the Antichrist to arise?
Well, I'm going to come back to the subject of the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah figure. Now, there's been a lot of people that have believed that perhaps the Antichrist could be the Iranian version of the Mahdi, the 12th Imam. And what I explain to people is that the Iranians have such a well-developed systematic theology regarding this individual. They believe that he will be a specific person that has actually been in alive. He's been in what they call occultation, sort of a spiritual, cryogenic, frozen state for hundreds of years. Their systematic theology almost guarantees that no one could ever fulfill that role. However, when we look to the Sunni world, the Islamic world, that is the sect that is 85 to 90% of the majority of Muslims, they are awaiting the Mahdi. But what they teach is that the Mahdi will not claim to be the Mahdi, that it will just be an individual, a powerful political leader that will begin to unify the Islamic world. Sid, all of the trends are set up for the majority of the Muslims to get behind an individual and literally believe that he is the Messiah. If a messianic fervor could sweep the Middle East like this, then there is no question we could see the most powerful coming together of the Muslims of the world, gathering behind one man and looking to him as if he is their savior.
Okay, two questions. Number one, do you think this man is alive today?
I'm sure that he is alive today. I wouldn't be able to.
Number two, do you have a candidate?
I do not have a candidate. I believe that he will be a Turkish leader, someone that will emerge as a leader out of Turkey. And who that is exactly, I can't.
Is there a leader in Turkey today that is on the rise?
Prime Minister Erdogan in Turkey is probably the best sort of type or foreshadow of what we're going to see. Prime Minister Erdogan is the most popular leader in the entire Middle East right now. And he has emerged overnight as a powerful political and religious figure. And, you know, when they do these various Pew polls throughout the regions in both Sunni and Shia Islamic nations, they are looking to him, and he is clearly the strong horse. And again, out of the nation of Turkey, I believe we'll see someone that will emerge after him that will, in fact, be the Antichrist.
Why does it appear as though Turkey is really rising up in this power struggle as one of the leaders?
Well, it's amazing. Let me just back up a little bit and explain the old order of the Middle East. Up until, you know, 1979, up until modern day times, you really had two significant blocks. You had the Arab bloc, that was Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, and then you had the Shia or the Iranian bloc, again, primarily Iran, a bit in Iraq and Lebanon. And when your average Islamist in the region, he desires to see the reestablishment of the Islamic Empire, known as the Caliphate, he desires to see the reestablishment of the office of the Caliph, which is the Pope, President, and General of the entire Islamic world. He desires to see those things. He would look first to the Arab bloc. He would say, these guys are all corrupt Western puppet regimes supported by the U.S. They have peace treaties with Israel. And then he would say, there's no hope there. Then he would turn to Iran. He would say, these guys are bold. They thumb their nose at Israel and the United States. We'd like that. On the other hand, they're Shia. We really can't get behind them. Suddenly, overnight, there has emerged a third party, a third entity, and that is Turkey. And what we've seen in recent years is the complete Islamist takeover of the government of Turkey, which historically has been a secular, democratic nation. We've seen the economy rise. We've seen the Islamization of the government. Suddenly, the affections and the attentions of the Islamists throughout the world are looking to Turkey to reestablish the Islamic government, the Islamic caliphate.
Well, tell me the scenario that you see based on scripture with Turkey or the Turkish bloc at the head.
Well, the scriptures tell us clearly, Sid, and this is fascinating, and people need to understand these passages. In Daniel 8, as well as Daniel 11, we have the historical story where Alexander the Great swept out of Macedonia, conquered the whole Middle East, and then he suddenly died. What followed was his generals, known as the Diadochi, they began to sort of fight for the various portions of his empire. And by 303, largely what you had was the Seleucid Empire in the north and the Ptolemaic Empire or dynasty in the south. Today, the
But wait a second. That's already happened. Why should we talk about today on a prophecy that's already been fulfilled?
Because the scriptures are clear that this historical pattern would be repeated in the last days. It says, in the last days, the king of the north, referring to that northern alliance, the Turkish, Syrian, Iraqi, Iranian alliance that resembles very closely the Seleucid Empire, would clash with the king of the south, which is the Egyptian-Libyan-North African alliance. What happened in history is about to be replayed in the days and years to come, and this is matching up with what's taking place in the Middle East precisely, Sid.
So I'm going to ask you a question. With what we see going on in the Middle East right now, all these uprisings, if you will, and attempts to change government, and your understanding of Bible prophecy, what's the next thing that's going to happen, in your opinion?
Well, what we're going to continue to see is the consolidation of the Turkish-Iranian-Syrian-Iraqi alliance. We've seen in recent years, we've seen these nations remove the need for visas. Their borders are wide open. If you're an Iranian, you can travel freely into Turkey and Syria and Iraq and do business. They're entering into all sorts of strategic alliances, economic, military, security, and so forth. That bloc is solidifying. Then what we're going to see now with this turnover of the Middle East is the emergence of the Southern bloc. Because while Turkey views itself as the nation most worthy of the role of leading the Middle East, so also does Egypt. Egypt is the home to Al-Azhar University. This is the most prestigious Sunni Islamic University. They view themselves as the intellectual capital of the Islamic world. We're going to see a bit of a tension arise between the Southern bloc and the Northern bloc. And in the years to come, this is going to result in a military clash between the King of the North and the King of the South.
So you really see from Daniel prophecy repeating itself.
Absolutely. It's clear. When we walk through the scriptures, as I do in the DVD teaching, we walk through the scriptures, we look at them, we look at what is taking place in the Middle East, and I walk through all of the various geopolitical developments. It is clear. In fact, it's shocking. When people look at this, they say, we are living in the time just prior to the return of the Messiah, and it's absolutely astounding.
If you could talk to President Obama, and you had, maybe 3 minutes with him, what would you tell him?
If I had the opportunity, I would open right up to Joel 3, and I would show him where the Bible is clear that at the time of the return of the Messiah, when Jesus returns, one of the primary issues that is driving his vengeance and his wrath is the fact that the nation supported the dividing up of the land of Israel. And Sid, you and I have talked about this. When any nation sets themselves up as pushing for the two-state solution, they are setting themselves up as the enemies of God. And sadly, Sid, we are seeing these false ideas entering into mainstream churches where evangelical Protestant churches are supporting the division of Israel. Believers need to understand what the scriptures say on these issues, and they need to get in line with the Lord's heart and his perspective on these things.
You know what? I've seen this pattern in scripture, that when Israel does something wrong, God chastises Israel. But when nations need to be judged by God, he has them do something to Israel, and it triggers his judgment.
The pattern is clear. Whenever the Lord wants to chastise his people, he uses an outside entity. And unfortunately, Sid, after he uses that rod of chastisement, whether it be, you know, the ancient Babylonians or Assyrians, he then takes that rod and he breaks it over his knee and he executes judgment on those people. And Sid, we need, as intercessors, need to be on our knees saying, Lord, have mercy on this nation. Give us wise leaders that we would not be a nation that supports this type of abomination.
Oh, let me ask you another question. It says in Scripture that God will be known forever by the title, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It talks about often that the God of Israel. Why don't people use this terminology anymore?
Well, unfortunately, in an effort to preserve the holiness of the sacred name, throughout history, the Jewish people have largely hidden the sacred name. And yet, as you said, the Lord commands that we would actually use that name, that people would know the name of the Lord, which is Yahweh or Yahweh, the sacred name, the unspoken name, in order that the nations would know which God we're addressing, so that when we say God, you know, people know that we're talking about Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the specific self-revealing God, as opposed to the false gods of the nations.
So when someone says Allah is synonymous to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what would you say?
I would say that's complete nonsense. That would be like saying that the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Jesus of Islam is the same as the Jesus of the Bible. They can try to make an argument based on the name only. It's a non sequitur. The bottom line is the God that's revealed in the Quran is not a father. He is not a self-revealing God.
Well, so we're out of time. I need you to understand Islam. I need you to understand end time events. I need you to, how are you going to pray if you don't know what's going on? That's why you need these four DVDs. And when he explains what is happening as far as the heresy within the church in reference to Islam, we'll get into it a little tomorrow, and what the ancient names mean by today's country's names. We're making this all available, four DVDs and a bookmark called The Return is Near for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.